Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hi, I'm Kendra.
And I'm Anne, and you're listening to Hannah's Heart today on American Family Radio. We're so happy to have you here. We are a radio show and podcast that focuses mainly on infertility, miscarriage, but we definitely cover a wide variety of things like child loss and adoption and foster care, singleness, so many different things in the way that the Lord sees fit to grow your family. And we just want to be there with you along the way.
That's right. So normally we have, a lot of times we have guests on the show to talk about their story or we'll talk about our story. But today we want to pause and bring you guys that are maybe new listeners back into the fold of the Hannah's Heart family.
Yeah.
It is the third year, of Hannah's
Heart. We're about
Heart.
To start season three.
Happy birthday. I don't know. Don't make me sing on radio.
They keep bringing us back.
Yeah. You know, I thought we would have kind of run out of things to share, but it's like God never works the same way twice, and people's stories just keep coming to us. And
I think a lot of that is because of our listeners.
Yes.
They send in requests and story, show ideas, things like that. And so I feel like, you know, they're a big reason why we do still continue to have things to talk about.
Yeah. But we just wanted to do kind of an episode dedicated to why we started and kind of get back to our roots of Hannah's Heart. And for those of you that have been maybe been listening for the last year or so and aren't as familiar with our story, kind of just catch you up. And for those that are longtime listeners, maybe there'll be some encouraging tidbits for you along the way. But let's just real quick, what is Hannah's Heart? What is Hannah's Heart?
So Hannah's Heart, well, like we kind of already said, we're a radio show podcast, but the reason that we named Hannah's Heart that is from Hannah in Scripture in 1 Samuel.
Yeah.
If you know that story, we kind of talk about it in the intro, you know, how Hannah just desired a baby for so long, and her husband even was married to someone else who was able to have.
That would be so hard.
Yeah.
Infertility's hard enough as it is. Can you imagine?
And then to have someone like rubbing it in your face. What was her name?
Oh,
I'm forgetting.
Not
right
Shekinah.
Now.
I made that up, but something similar.
So there's someone.
Jemima. Shekinah. I'm gonna find it. You keep talking.
Okay. She was able to have a baby, and she even through Scripture kind of shows how she kind of rubbed it in Hannah's face a little bit. And her husband, but he still loved her so much. And it says that he even loved her more.
Elkanah is the name of the husband.
Oh, yes.
That's what I was trying
to
get
right.
at.
That
there
was
you go.
So close.
What
did they say? So close, close, but no similar.
And then
Paniah is the
the
other wife who was able to have kids, and then Hannah was barren, and her husband Elkanah, he still loved her and longed for her, and even asked like, "Am I not enough? You know, why am I not enough for you to still long for a baby like you did?" But she was at the temple praying, and that priest, you know, was like, what are you doing? It said that her eyes were closed and her lips were moving. The priest did think that she was drunk.
Did you feel like you're drunk when
you're
pouring your heart out to the Lord? You just feel like not in control. And I can see how somebody would misinterpret that because of the level of depth of emotion that you feel. Like, I feel like
Well, and it's a very intimate moment that she was having that the priest
saw. And especially back then, like, I feel like even more so, like, today, our identity as women can be connected to our ability to be moms. Like, you know, especially when Mother's Day rolls around and it hits different, you know, where you're like, who am I if I'm not what I thought I was going to be? But even more so in a culture where, like, their worth was based on how many babies they could pop out. They didn't have, like, degrees and, you know,
other ways to show worth because that's not how our worth
today. Exactly. We wrongly sometimes do.
But yeah, she was struggling with that. And then she promised at the temple that day, you know, like, God, if you bless me with a child, I promise I will give him back to you. And she kept that promise, and the Lord that told, you know, he blessed her with a baby. And it says that she raised him and nursed him. And then when he was old enough, that he actually went back to that temple and was the Lord's. And that we know him as Samuel.
Yeah. One of the questions as we were prepping for the show is, like, any new insights that you have into Hannah's story? And as I was thinking about it, you know, over the last 3 years, we've done a little mini series on barren women of the Bible, and then we did something on the children that came from the barren women of the Bible.
Yeah.
And if I have kind of one takeaway from Hannah's story that I've thought about in the last 3 years is just, it seems like those babies that take the longest to get in the oven
that's right.
Are the ones that are the most prayed for before they even arrive.
Yeah.
Seems to be, of course, God has a plan for every child that is born.
For
every baby.
Every baby's a miracle, all the things.
But there's just this extra special calling that seems to exist on the lives of babies who have struggled, whose mamas have struggled with infertility. And I also say there's an extra attack on their life. We've had a lot of mamas write into AFA that have said, hey, I struggled with infertility, miraculously conceived, gave the child this name, and now they are struggling with their gender identity, and they've changed their name, and they're not talking to me, and this is happening. And I just think about, like, man, the enemy, you know, like, God, the enemy hates children, and he wants to, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And there really is a spiritual attack on godly Christian couples that want to raise children. And not saying that to scare families, but just to
No, but
to
it
recognize.
Is something to know. And also to know that, like, you're not alone. If you're still walking through infertility, you're not alone. Unfortunately, goodness. I mean, the numbers have gone up even more since we started the show.
Yeah.
It was 1 in 8 couples, and now it's 1 in 7.
Yeah. And in the miscarriage rate, we started at 1 in 4.
And now it's
1 in 3.
Yeah. And so, like, what in the world is going on?
Yeah.
I think we have some ideas, but that's not for this show. Yeah. To know that you're not alone as you're walking through infertility and desiring that baby. And if you're on the other side of it, which I don't know if I agree that there's another side to infertility, because I do believe it affects you for the rest of your life.
It continues to change you.
right. But, you know, you have those babies now. And, yeah, you think, I know I naively thought, I won't have hard days as a mama. I have always desired to be a mama. I'm going to be a good mama. Oh, my goodness. And then you become a mom and you're like, this is hard. This is so hard. And so, you know, it's a different kind of hard than infertility. But it definitely comes, you know, being a mama can be lonely as well.
And that's as far as, like, future vision casting for Hannah's heart. One thing that we have talked about recently is, you know, Ann and I, now we're in this season of being mamas, we want to bring to the show not only helping prepare you for whatever way God is going to build your family, but then before you even have children, to begin preparing for motherhood and to prepare your heart for what that transition looks like. Because I think you nailed it on the head. Like, you think, oh, just getting the baby is the hard part. And then you're like, oh, no, now I have to do.
Now I'm exhausted.
The second part of Hannah's story is something that we really want to delve into next year. So, you know, she had to first conceive and have the child. But then what amazes me about her is that she ends up taking him to the temple to be raised by the like, what? Like, I don't think I could do, like, God, you gave me a baby and now
I'm giving him back
to you. And yeah. I've had to do that with my little ones, of like not holding them so tightly because of the process of what it took to get them, but to say, this child is God's. For this child I have prayed, but this child is God's. Yeah. And that looks like trusting God. Like, I dealt with so much fear in the first couple months of Eliana's life of losing her. And like, mm-hmm. SIDS, I'll be honest, I've never struggled with anxiety in my whole life. I had panic attacks that she would just stop breathing. And like, I think the enemy just came at me with all of these fears of death. And I had to get to the place where the thing that brought me peace was when I realized, like, this child is not what's going to sustain me. God sustains me. And yes, I'm going to do everything within my power to keep this baby healthy and put her in safe situations. But this is God's child, and he is the one that is responsible.
Yeah.
And he is the one who gives her breath. So anyways, we hope to do a little bit into the world of parenting. And for those of you that have struggled with infertility and now have children and are with us on that part of the journey, hopefully that'll be an encouragement to you. And for those that are still waiting for those miracle babies, it never hurts to start preparing, because if you believe that God gives good gifts to his children and that he has a child for you, you just don't know how they're going to come into the picture, go ahead and start planning.
That's right. Because
Okay, so question for you on Hannah's heart, one on my list. How has doing this show either changed you personally, or have you changed your mind about anything in regards to infertility or miscarriage or child loss?
Man, Kendra?
You know. I'll throw the doozies at her on air.
I think I've said on here before how I do feel like Hannah's heart has changed me in a lot of ways. For one, I didn't realize I would be as encouraged as I was walking through infertility and then child loss through Hannah's heart and through our listeners. We have had people write in to even, I've received letters in the mail here from listeners just offering words of encouragement and letting us know that they put us on the list at their church to be prayed for after, if you're new to the show, I had a baby to pass away last year, John Micah, to let us know that we were on their prayer list at their church. Like, that wouldn't have happened without, I call it our Hannah's Heart family, you know? And if there's a way that it's changed me is, for one, I feel like Hannah's Heart kept me accountable in walking through child loss, because I knew I had people watching me go through the hardest days of my life, you know? And so was I going to still praise the Lord even though my baby was gone, or was I going to really react how I was tempted to react some days? Because some days I wasn't all, I'm still going to praise God even though my baby doesn't survive, you know? Like, there would be some days I questioned him all day long, you know, of like, God, you didn't speak to me here. I was trying to listen there, you know, like, where were you at? Mm-hmm. You know, and there's just some days God seems silent. That is part of our waiting process, whether you're waiting to have that baby and you feel like, okay, God, I'm talking to you, but I'm not hearing a thing. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you're grieving a miscarriage, or you're grieving a child through child loss, or an adoption that failed, you know. There's so many times that the Lord might seem like he's being silent, but to really sit and to acknowledge, like, no, it's just me being willing to meet him, you know, to on my knees at the feet of Jesus, to know that he is still there. I feel like the Hannah's Heart family kind of kept me accountable to do that, and to be able to open my heart every day to know, like, God, you're still for me and you're still with me, even though what I'm walking through right now doesn't feel good at all.
Yeah. The support from our listeners has been one of the most surprising things for me about doing Hannah's Heart, because I expected it to be a time of, like, us sharing from our experiences to encourage others, but I didn't realize how much I needed other people encouraging and praying for me as well. And, like, the people that comment and like I've had people write in and say, I'm fasting for you and your family during this season. And that broke me because I love to eat. And I thought, this person hasn't even met me and they are fasting for my family. Like that humbled me. And, you know, it just brings me to that verse in scripture that talks about when one part suffers of the body suffers, every part suffers with it. Yeah. One part rejoices, every part rejoices with it. And since starting the show, there have been some listeners, not only that have prayed for me, but that I've gotten to walk along them with their journey. And I literally one day danced in my kitchen when someone had good news. And Eliana was like, what is up with you, mama? And I was just like, the joy of like knowing what this couple had been through and seeing the Lord provide for them. And then I have had those texts. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we might be on air, but we love connecting with you. And we're not afraid to pick up the phone and talk to you off air.
We've definitely done that.
That's been one of my greatest joys in the last, especially this last year, where some of our listeners have emailed and I'm like, can I just call you? And they're like, yes, please. And then we've prayed on the phone. And it's just like, infertility is and child loss is too lonely to go through without opening your heart to somebody who gets it. Yeah. And not just anybody. Don't open your heart and bare your soul to just anyone. Open your heart and bare your soul to people that will point you to Jesus.
Yeah.
And that aren't going to like, yes, you need that people that are like, this stinks and can relate. But we can't hang out there. You have to have somebody who then says, but God. And not in a way that's going to beat you over the head with the Bible, because we know that's not helpful for us. But anyone that we've talked to be able to like just point you back to God's word and say, I know this is the lowest low of your life, but God is there and he is still good. Please cling to his goodness. Let me just pray for you. Mm-hmm. And forming that community, I feel like I've been on the roller coaster with a lot of our listeners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what a joy it is to get to walk through life with you. Another thing for me, just as far as like, has Hannah's heart changed my mind about anything? Or I wouldn't necessarily say changed my mind, but like one of my perspectives that has shifted a little bit. In the intro, you know, we say like you're desiring that baby. And I say this isn't a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, but it's a show that shows you that, you know, God is enough wherever. Yeah. And I still 100% believe that. That hasn't changed. When we put that in the intro, I think my heart, where I was back, if I can rewind to before I was blessed with two miracle babies, I didn't know how my journey was going to end.
Right.
And there were some ministries that you and I had encountered that I think hearts were in the right spot, but they had a lot of focus on kind of a name it, claim it.
Yeah,
like if you want a baby, you just got to trust. And I think maybe they had more of the perspective of God will give everybody a biological child. And you and I kind of talked before we started the show, like that's not a promise.
Right, and we didn't ever want to put that out there.
Like, we don't want to promise you, like if you just have enough faith, you'll get that bun in the oven, because sometimes God will change the desires of your heart and redirect you to adoption or another path that you could never have imagined.
Right.
So I still 100% believe all of that. But in the starting on 3 years that we've now done Hannah's heart, I have heard so many miraculous stories of the way that God has opened women's wombs that have literally built my faith. Not that God owes us a baby, but just in a way where like I was wanting to prep women like he might not.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, okay, I still need to prep them. He might not do it the way you think, but he can.
He will sometimes. The fact that you know, you might not still have that biological baby, but like we have seen hearts completely changed where people are like, no, I'm not, adoption's just not something for me, to that adopted baby, you know, they love that baby just as much as they would any biological baby.
Emily Brooks episode comes to my mind. There's so many stories, but like she shared about how like, you know, every mama has that fear of, will I love this child if I adopt? And the supernatural thing that God did in her and her husband's heart, also the Suddiths. I think of all these couples that we've had that have said, like, you can't imagine what God did in my heart and the love. It's, I don't have to fake this. This is something that came from God. So I guess just God has secured in my heart a confidence of his goodness mm-hmm. that I can give to other couples. Not the way, but I feel confident that if you seek him, you will come to a place where one of our listeners talked about the shackles of grief fell off of her
yeah.
in a moment of worshiping him. And like, you might always have a pain in your heart that misses a biological
sure,
shot if you don't.
Because you want to experience a pregnancy
sure.
and what do those kicks feel like?
And that's natural.
Like that. Yeah.
But you can have freedom.
Right.
And like, I feel like I can look any couple into the eye and say, this is a go to the bank promise from God. He is good enough to sustain you.
That's right. That's right. Well, and even I remember I was on a walk one day and I'd had a really hard doctor's appointment mm-hmm. earlier that day. And I was walking with a friend and I said, Emily, which mm-hmm. a different Emily, mm-hmm. but she has also been on the show with an adoption that didn't mm-hmm. go through. But I said, I think, and I was crying. I was not in a good headspace at this time. I said, I think that God is preparing my heart to love someone else's baby because he mm-hmm. knows that I'm not, you know, the baby's not going to be mine. And he was, but at that time, I was not saying that as a positive thing. Yeah. I was just saying, I think this is what's going on.
Yep.
But my goodness, if you meet my baby, who is not my biological baby, but he is in every other way, shape, and form, I love him with my whole entire heart, and he knows that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I do. Goodness, I don't know how I got off on this, but just, mm-hmm. yeah, just like God did change my heart. And mm-hmm. I did, part of my testimony is before we ever knew that Jane was going to come on her way, mm-hmm. I just told the Lord, I was like, God, I am okay with this now. Mm-hmm. We had Mark through foster care at the time, and we had two other kiddos in our home at the time. And I just said, God, like, if this is what my life looks like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I surrender to you. And it like felt so good and so freeing to finally mean that with my whole entire heart. And then a few months later, I got pregnant. I was, thrown off. I was literally like, I just literally told you I was okay with my life yeah. the way this is, like not understanding you. But obviously I was so thankful. I was so scared, all the things. But now we have mm-hmm. our sweet Jane that way. And so, yeah, our stories looks so different, but God is good all the way around.
And his timing in all of that. Like, that's one thing from hearing now just dozens of stories of our listeners who have called in and testimonies that have come. Like, God never works the same way twice. But the one thing, like, if I can see a thread through all of them, it's just that, like, his timing in each story is ironic.
Yeah.
And it's just
yeah.
like hysterical.
Where it's, I was about to say, where it's almost funny.
Yeah.
Just like, okay.
It was, you know, like how many times have we had couples? We've had this phrase develop on the show, God winks,
mm-hmm.
That I've talked. And like, we've had multiple people use that phrase. I'd never heard it until this show.
But I love it.
Yeah. Of just these moments that they saw in their life where God was preparing them for what was about to come.
Yeah.
And then something hard hit. Or it'd be like the minute they surrendered and something in their heart, God, this miraculous provision and these ways that only God can work.
Yeah.
But okay, another Hannah's Heart reflective question. So why are you still doing this? Because you have had children. You are a busy mama. You know, like in the beginning, I think we started it because both of us were like, we're struggling with infertility.
We need an outlet
to help us process our feelings. Why do you still continue to do Hannah's Heart?
That's good. Well, for one, kind of how I was saying earlier, just what I have gotten from mm-hmm. the listeners, but whenever we're hearing these stories of how we've been there for people, you know, we've heard from a guy from the Philippines who his wife was struggling, but he was the one listening.
Mm-hmm.
We at one of our conferences we were at, a man came up and he was like, I literally listen to y'all every time I work in my garden, you know, mm-hmm. And so it's those kind of stories that, you know, that God's in it. Like, mm-hmm. Why would men care to listen to this? You know, like just, yeah. Well, I'm going to go listen to an infertility podcast when I'm working in my garden, you know.
Yeah.
But that man shared, he was like, I get something from your show every time I listen to you guys, you girls. But that just shows how God is working. And like, just because we're called an infertility or miscarriage podcast, God can use anything, mm-hmm. anybody, you know, to bring him closer to him. And if that's what we do for mm-hmm. one person or for one family, then I still need to be here.
That's so good. And, you know, like we've said this a million times, but infertility has been the tool that God has used in my life to shape me and form me and make me like Jesus. And so I look back. Now I can be grateful for this season of infertility yeah. that I had because of not only what it accomplished in me, but how now it's given me opportunities to share with others. And I remember being that person that felt so alone. And so the need to be able to reach, like, all of our listeners, like, so many people have written in and been like, I binge listened to yep. all of your past podcasts because I didn't know anybody else felt this.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's not us offering us as a lifeline. We're throwing Jesus because
right.
he's what sustained us.
Yeah.
And to be able to be like, because I have been given so much, mm-hmm. like, I want others to know that God right. really is enough and to see those beautiful transformations.
I'm right there with you. It went by so fast. We were worried we weren't going to even have enough stuff to share.
Yeah.
But yeah, these 3 years have been a blessing mm-hmm. to me and my family so much.
Same.
And yeah, we hope that we can continue, you know, to see just how God wants to continue to use the show and to mm-hmm. to use us. And so we hope to hear from our listeners again. Y'all keep sending show
Hannah's Heart at AFR,
yeah.
or AFA, Hannah's Heart at AFA.net.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, you guys.